overpowering me. You know, sometimes we rest in our ability, in our own power, yeah. Try to do things in our own strength. God needs to overpower that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
God needs to trump that with his power.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen?
Yeah.
And it will empower you. Let his power empower you. So Romans chapter 8, verse 1 says this, therefore... There is therefore now, everybody say now.
Now.
God is the God of the now.
Yes.
Faith is now. Yes. Salvation is now. Today is the day. Now, this is a now thing. Mm-hmm. You know, we can't relegate all God's power to one day that was or one day it will be. No, it's now. Everybody say, God is now.
God is now.
His power is now.
His strength is now.
It lives in me now.
It lives in me now.
And there is therefore now. No condemnation to those who are in Christ. Jesus. How do you know when you're in Christ? How do you know when you're alive?
Spirit.
You know, your mother and dad start teaching you things and you realize you're alive. Well, it's the same with new birth. You're not the same person you were. And you know it. That's how you know you're in Christ. Those who are in Christ Jesus, and that word Christ, it means the anointed one and his anointing. The anointed Jesus and his anointing, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law, let's say the law.
The law.
Of the Spirit of life.
Of the Spirit of life.
In Christ Jesus.
In Christ Jesus.
Has made me free.
Has made me free.
From the law of sin and death.
From the law of sin and death.
You got to have fun with this. You got to look at it and mull it around and look at it from different angles in your life. And as you do, you can discern the ways of death. And when we talk about law here, we're not talking about commandments, right? Jesus fulfilled all the commandments. But we're talking about spiritual laws here, just like we have laws in the natural. You have the laws of inertia, gravity, momentum, things like that. You have the laws of electricity, the laws of hydraulics. You have all these physical laws. Well, in the spirit realm, there are laws that govern the spirit realm. We have the law of faith. We have the law of Christ, which is, you know what the law of Christ is? That means if you see a need, you have the ability to meet it. You have ability to pick up your brother and sister. You have the ability to get up, go over to the Gonzalez's house and help them pack. Help them move. You have that. That's the law of Christ. But I don't want to lift up a big box of books, though.
What's our Bibles?
Okay, we can do that. We have the anointing for that. But there are two laws that are working here. We have the law of sin and death, and we have the law of the Spirit of life. These are two laws that absolutely oppose one another. And both are seeking dominance. Amen?
Yes.
This whole thing, ever since the garden, is all about dominion. It's all about dominance. It's all about who's controlling your life. Up until the time of Jesus, when he died and rose from the dead, up until that time, men didn't have a choice. And when you don't have a choice, you're in bondage. When you're in an addiction and you don't feel like you have a choice, that's bondage. That's the law of sin and death. The law of the Spirit of life comes in and breaks all of that off of you. And you realize that you are loved, that you are valued, that God doesn't condemn you, he accepts you. And that what he has for you is richer and better than anything that this world can give you. Freedom. What does that mean? I can do anything I want? No, that's bondage. Right. That's when your flesh gets involved and says, oh, I can have anything I want? You go to a five-year-old and they'll say, okay, I can get all the candy I want. You go to a grown-up and they'll say, well, I can do anything I want. Mm-mm. That's a road that leads to nowhere. That's the bridge that leads to nowhere. There's the law of sin and death, the law of life. The law of sin and death is driven by condemnation. Jesus said the whole world. He said this to Nicodemus. He said the world is condemned already because they have not believed in the name. He came to deliver condemned people. The world was under the condemnation of sin and death. He came to deliver us from sin and death. Amen. Amen. You can read that in John chapter 3. But the law of sin and death is driven by condemnation. You ever feel driven? Compelled? That's not coming from God. God doesn't drive. He leads. The law of life is supplied and empowered by the anointing. Christ Jesus. The anointed Jesus and his anointing. So the law of sin and death is driven by condemnation. The law of life is supplied by the anointed. There's a big difference there. Can you see the difference? There's a big difference between being driven and being supplied. Driven means you're under something. Supplied means that you're rising up. It's pushing you up. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Boy, I wrote a song probably 40 years ago. I'm older than I look. I've got the law of the Spirit of life pushing me up every day, lifting me up to that higher way. Yeah. It's a good song. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's a bluesy type of... You got to realize, when I came from, all the songs sounded like that. And for those of you who don't know me, I turned atheist when I was 16 years old. Didn't believe there was a God. From that time on, my life started spiraling in a downward trend that was not good. By the time I was 22, I was demon-possessed. By the time I was 24, it was ugly. I'm just telling you, it was ugly. Alcoholic, drug abuse, whatever you want. I was addicted to getting high or on anything I could. On my 24th birthday, I was saved. Born again.
Amen.
Born again. Risen above. I was suddenly supplied with the anointing of God. And God led me out of that. It was a slow process. In some ways, not because God's slow, but because I was stubborn. Said I was stubborn. Have you ever been stubborn?
Me, no.
Tenaciously so. But hey, look, God will work with you where you're at. Yes. That's what grace is all about.
Amen.
You don't have to feel condemned if you're not perfect.
Right.
I can tell you right now, there's nobody in this room who's perfect except for me. And if you believe that, you believe anything. Ask her. She knows. Law of sin and death. If you're driven, you're under. If you're supplied, you're rising up. You're over it. You are in. God put you in dominion. Amen?
Yes.
And if you're driven, you're not being led. The whole thing is about being led. Let's go to John chapter 10. And what I'm about to tell you here is going to change the game in your life. And it's going to get you out in front. And instead of you being afraid of the devil, he's going to be afraid to mess with you.
Amen.
You know, you've got to understand, he is already defeated.
Yes.
And he's a liar.
Yep.
And he makes himself look like this big cheese. And he is not. His fangs were ripped out. His claws were ripped out. He is in a wheelchair. It says that Jesus hit him so hard he bruised his heel, hitting his head. And he put a bang on him so hard the devil is still shaking from it. And when he comes at you, you see somebody standing behind you. And in the shadow of the Almighty, I trust. Amen. You're not alone in this. You're not alone. John chapter 10, let's look at verse 2. It says, but he, the good shepherd, that enters in by the door, you have to invite him. He doesn't force his way into your life. He doesn't force his will upon you. By the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter opens, and the sheep hear his voice. Thank you, John. The sheep hear his voice. You get that?
Yes, I do.
You're his sheep. You hear his voice, don't you? And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he puts forth his own sheep, and you know where he puts them forth? Into green pastures, by still waters.
That's right.
In the paths of righteousness. When he puts forth his own sheep, he goes before them. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. You know, Jesus revealed himself as the good shepherd. One thing he keeps on repeating here several times, four or five times in this chapter, he kept emphasizing the fact that we know him and that we hear him. Say that. I know him.
I know him.
And I hear him.
And I hear him.
Jesus said this. Jesus said that you know him and hear him. Let's go to verse 14. It says, I am. By the way, that's I am. That's Yahweh. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and they know me. You know him. You hear his voice. Verse 27 says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. You know, if Jesus says something once, it's important. If he says it twice, it's twice as important. When he says it four or five times, in the same chapter, in the same place, it's getting to a vital pitch. Amen? Because he wants you to know that you can know him, that you can hear him, that he leads you, and you can follow him. He wants to drill this down into you, into your very core. And this is the area where the devil tries to come in and confuse and convolute. Say, you're hearing from God. Yeah, he said so. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure this out. You don't have to be a great theologian. All you got to do is be his sheep. So that's why the repetition on this. This is why he's trying to drill down and let us know that we can, you know, so many church-going folks, good people who are born again, good people who will, when they leave this world, will enter into heaven because they're saved. But they don't follow this. Either they don't believe they can hear from him directly, personally, and specifically, or they don't believe this. They don't believe the Bible that says this, or these words from Jesus, or they don't know how he communicates. Jesus used to say, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Everybody there had these. We don't hear him with these ears.
No.
Right.
See? We don't see him with these ears. He says, if they had eyes to see. He's trying to get us from being led from things out here to being led from the voice inside.
Amen.
You get that?
Yes.
Too many people are basing their whole life and circumstances on things they see out here. And you get Christians, they put out fleeces and they say, if you want me to do this, make this happen. If this is your will, do this. And if you don't want me, then make me, or don't make me, do this. Those are all forms of fleeces that they put out because they're basing their faith on what happens out here and not in here. I'll give you a really good example of that in a few minutes. But this is a whole different way of operating.
Yes.
This is operating from the inside, from your spirit.
Yes.
And it's not operating. God doesn't speak to your mind. He can make you know things, but he communicates directly with your spirit.
Yes.
It's the spirit. He bears witness with our spirit. Yes. Amen? That's what the eyes and ears of your understanding are. They are in your spirit. And they will be enlightened by the anointing of the Spirit of God. It says in Ephesians chapter 1 in that prayer. Did we go over that last week, that prayer?
Yeah.
I thought we knew. Sounded familiar. But this is a whole different way of operating. The law of sin and death, driven, condemning, feeling guilty all the time about something, feeling you have to do something. You ever be works oriented and you feel you got to do something? Jesus didn't say, come unto me, all you who labor and heavy laden, and keep laboring and keep heavy laden. And you'll be working for everything. I don't have to give you anything. You know what he said? There are people, their whole identity it revolves around their ability to work and do things. You're not a human doing. You're a human being. Thank you, Lord. That was good. That kind of tickled. Say this. So the first thing you got to do is you got to declare that you believe this word. Say this. I am his sheep.
I am his sheep.
I hear his voice.
I hear your voice.
Say it again. I hear his voice.
I hear your voice.
I know him.
I know you.
He leads me.
He leads me.
And I follow.
And I follow.
Say, I am his sheep.
I am his sheep.
You're not your own, folks. You are not your own. You are bought by Christ. You're his sheep. He has assumed responsibility for you, your future, and everything about you. He has assumed it. But if you keep holding on to the reins, you ever get that way? He's not going to jerk them out of your hands. You got to let them go. Why? Because it's faith. I trust you. Yes. He loves faith.
Yes.
It pleases him. Amen. And he's not going to force his way upon you. Amen. Now, on the other hand, we do not live in a bubble where we're never subject to any attacks, where we're never subject to anything negative happening in our life. It's not a bubble like that. We live in a fallen world that is filled with sin. It's filled with curses. It's filled with demons. It's filled with sickness. It's filled with criminals. It's filled with everything that the devil brought in here through Adam.
Yeah.
Adam let it in. And as Adam reproduced himself as a fallen being, so we are. And the lifespan of man just got shorter and shorter and shorter as sin escalated and escalated. This is why when Jesus came, he came into a world that was filled with sin. Filled with people who are alienated from God. And even the people that studied the Old Testament were so stuck in their tradition they didn't even recognize him when they're looking right into his face. This is how far apart. So this is a learning process. If you have been operating in the flesh, operating in the... And when I say flesh, I'm talking about a mindset that is based all of it on what they see, what they feel, what they hear, what they can touch and what they can taste. It's all based on your five physical senses. But when you base everything there, you're limited. You're walking under the law of sin and death.
Wow.
And you're not rejoicing and enjoying the life that Jesus came to give you. You want healing in your life? You want power in your life? You want wisdom in your life? You want a workable knowledge of the Scripture? Do you want the living God in your life?
Yes.
Yes.
Then get out of the flesh.
Yeah.
He's already said, the law of the Spirit of life is right there. You can operate in it. But it takes a choice. You know, in Revelation 3:20, I didn't write this down, but Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door.
Yep.
And knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him. And what he was saying is, I'll talk to anybody who will listen. I will communicate to anybody who will listen if they open up and are receptive. But let them open up the door. Keep on walking out there like I'm going to say something. And then but look, what we need to do is don't be led by needs.
Yeah.
Don't be led by opportunities.
Yes.
Don't be led by numbers. That's a big one.
Yeah.
Don't be led by price or cost. How many of you know that the cheapest isn't always the cheapest? Don't be led by what you have on supply or what you don't have on supply. You know, we ought to be such that when, even when it's the perfect opportunity and everybody's saying yes, 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 we ought to be able to say, looks good, I'm going to check it out in here and see if I'm led to do that. And right over on the other hand too, if there's a opportunity that is just the worst opportunity and everybody's saying don't do that, don't, that's not a leading either.
Right.
Check in here. I know this one guy bought this piece of dirt. He got into a closet. Every time an opportunity to buy something, he was an investor. And every time an opportunity, he went into his prayer closet. It was a large prayer closet. And he would fast and pray, and just with him and his Bible. And then when he'd feel this nice, peaceful feeling in his spirit right here, like velvet, he knew that was the goal. And his financial advisors would tell him, you want to do that? You're going to lose your shirt. Go ahead. It's not my, you know, don't blame me for it. And that thing would produce like nobody's business. And then there are things that seem good. His broker came and said, you ought to do this. You ought to do this. He'd get in his closet. And he told Brother Hagin, he said, Brother Hagin, I've never lost one dime on one investment I've ever made. Wow. That sure beat me.
Wow.
Be led. Not driven. Be led. But don't be led by opportunities. Don't be led by need, cost, price. Don't be led by what you have on supply or what you don't have. Be led by God. You will have what you need. You know, when we took on this building project here, I mean, we were a lot smaller than we are now. And there were people who said, Tom, you're getting in over your head. But you know, and you didn't say no, he didn't, but there were people who did. You know, it's amazing how many people feel obligated to give you their opinion on why something won't work.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. And then you wonder why things aren't working in their life. Well,
they're
basing everything on what's happening out here, on what they can see, what evidence they have, their supply, what you don't. But I had a piece. Now, not that there wasn't problems with the construction and the renovation and everything. We ran into some difficulties, but never once did I lose that peace that God said to me before the church even started. I was on the phone with the guy. And the guy, and he's talking about, you know, plans for the church. And the Lord just opened up, and I saw it over here. It's just like he opened up the scripture, almost like a picture. It was a vision in my mind's eye, let's say. Let's put it that way. Of Elijah asleep, and the angel waking him up, bread on the coals, and a cruse of water by his head. And I heard in the voice of the Lord, right down in here, I will build this thing for you. Mm-hmm. I'll cook it for you. Mm-hmm. I'll prepare it for you. Mm-hmm. Just do it.
Yep.
And all the time, the various little problems we had here, the Holy Spirit would just come up and remind me of what was spoken to me right from the very beginning,
right,
before it even started.
That's right.
Okay, when you're walking into this, didn't we have problems, Evie? Didn't we have problems, Leah? We had guys coming, yeah, I'll do this for 100 grand, sure. And I'm like, Lord, show me who to go to here. We had problems. But none of those problems were too big for God. And the peace carried me through it. So don't go by what you have on supply or don't have on supply. Go by what the Lord tells you. Be led by the Lord. Let's turn to James chapter 1. You know, God leaves the decisions to us which way we want to go. The prodigal son, he let him go, right? When he came to the end of himself, he realized, I'm not such a hot shot. Everybody left me because I ran out of money. That's the way the world is. The product, the lost sheep. You know, you think of these things, the slothful servant. But anyhow, and you wonder why you're driven. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. There's a flash. And it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all men liberally. You know what this word liberally means? It means overabundantly. It means generously. God is a generous God. He is overabundance. He's the kind that your cup runs over. You know, the anointing. He anoints your head with oil. That doesn't mean he just goes, dab. Be anointed. No, he dumps it on you. It's like the priests of the Old Testament. They took oil and dumped it all over him and poured it down, and it came down the robes of Aaron's robes. God is a lavish God. He's a generous God. He gives liberally and overabundantly. And it says, and he does it without reproach.
Yeah.
The King James says, he upbraideth not. What that means is he doesn't point out your faults. He doesn't bring up your sins. He doesn't bring up your he doesn't point out wrongs. He doesn't become accusatory. He gives liberally, and he doesn't accuse you. He doesn't condemn you. He doesn't point out your wrongs. And it shall be given him. The fact that you do have faults, the fact that you do have shortcomings in your life is only evidence to the fact that you need wisdom. God is not a problem prolonger. He is a problem solver. If you have a problem, you can come to him. He won't point out the problem. He'll give you the wisdom to be able to deal with it.
Amen.
He'll give you buckets of it.
Yeah.
He'll give you wagon trains filled with it. He will supply you with all the wisdom that you need and overflowing that's necessary to fix your problem.
Amen.
All of it.
Amen.
Is he fooling around here?
No.
No. He already said, look, I'll give you generously. I won't point out your wrongs. I want to solve you. Here's the wisdom to do it. Okay? So ask for wisdom. And it shall be given. But let him ask in faith. You know, God never changes. Jesus said, have faith in God. When you ask, ask in faith, believing that you receive. In other words, don't think that God won't. Honor his word and believe in his word. This is so important and so vital. Because it's not that, let him ask in faith. Let him ask in faith, no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea. What?
Driven!
Yeah. Did you see that?
Yeah.
Driven by the winds of the world, by the waves and the currents and the tides of the seas, by everything that this world has to throw at you and carry you where it wants you to go, show you what it wants to show you, let you off where it wants to let you off, make you feel lonely and abandoned. Driven. And what happens then? You feel condemned. You feel abandoned. Jesus said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Let's get back into the wheel of life here.
Yeah.
Rather than that rat on the wheel we talked about last week. The wheel of condemnation. The wheel of guilt. The wheel of I don't. And here you go. You say, I don't know how I'm going to do this. I don't know how I'm going to do this. I don't know how I'm going to do this. I can't do this. I don't have this. I don't have that. And you are activating spiritual laws working against you. It's like the guy who's laying awake all night trying to solve a problem, trying to solve it, trying to get an answer. And it says, it's 5:30. I'm going to have to wake up in an hour. And he's like a guy who is in a file cabinet. And he goes from the beginning, and he goes all the way to the end, and it's not there. And then he goes from the back to the front, and it's not there. And then he takes the files out. He starts over one at a time, And it's not there. It's not in here. It's in here. This is where God is. This is where the answers are. This is where the supply is. This is where the wisdom of God is. This is what he's trying to get over to you, is the wisdom of God. Your mind is the file cabinet. Your mind has no answers. There's no sense in staying awake all night worrying about a problem that you can't solve, that you don't have the resources for, or anything, when you have the living God on the inside of you and all of his wisdom and workable knowledge of the kingdom of God inside of you.
Amen.
How about it? Why stay up and worry? You know what? Roll the care over it. Hurl the care over it. Throw it at the Lord. He can handle it. He told you to do that.
Yeah.
Roll the care of it over on him. Yeah. Get a good night's sleep and wake up knowing exactly what to do.
That's right. Yeah.
There's a whole different life involved there than there is in sitting there and fretting and worrying and letting it rob you of your sleep. No sleep, no health. That grinds you. That drives you. See the driving, then you're right back on the wheel.
Right. Yep.
The wheel in the sky keeps on turning, and I don't know where I'm going. The wheel in the sky, I don't know what the song's about, but I'm singing it. You see, through songs like this,
right?
How it gets you to meditate on the word of the devil.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it gets you to into the law of sin and death.
That's right.
And start grinding you and driving you and say, I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what I'm going to do.
Right.
You are speaking words that are giving the devil access into your life to drive you with condemnation and fear.
Yep.
Say amen or oh me.
Amen.
And if it's oh me, get back in the, you have the right. Even if you sinned, and even if you sinned on purpose, you have the blood-bought right to get up and to say, I receive your forgiveness.
Yes.
And I am walking now in the laws of life that you have provided for me. The past is gone, the future is mine. I repent. Thank God for repentance. Woo! Yeah. Repentance will destroy a whole lot of seed that you've sown in your past.
Yes.
It'll destroy crops of failure.
Yes.
This is an accurate picture. The winds of this life. The tides and the currents of the world. Keep reading. Verse 7. It says, for let not that man suppose he receive anything from the Lord. You know, I used to read this and say, well, God demands faith, and he'll punish me by not giving me what I need if I don't do it in faith. That's not the spirit of this at all.
Right.
What he's saying is, look, if you're unstable in all your ways, you're not going to be able to stand through the process that it takes to receive the wisdom of God.
Right.
And it's not God's fault. It's not that he already said, I'll give it to you liberally. Mm-hmm. I won't point out your faults.
Right.
I won't grind you into all of that. Mm-hmm. No, I'll lift you up. Just believe me.
Right.
Believe me, and if you believe me, you'll stand long enough to be able to receive first the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear.
Amen.
First the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. Sounds corny, but it's true. But here we go. Can't do this, can't do that. No, you can. You can do all things through Christ. No wonder Paul kept on saying that to himself. I can do all things through Christ. For let not that man think he... No, the Lord is not holding back. It's us that we need to stand in faith and believe him. Take his word as truth in your life. Amen?
Amen.
I need to get to the end of this. I've got so much more here. I always come over prepared. But then, you know, that's good though, because the Lord can... He knows what you need. Here's what you do. Do these three things. Oral Roberts built his entire ministry on this. And I know he's an easy target for a lot of people who don't understand what faith is. Don't understand the love of God that man walked in. That we are literally skating down paths that he with blood, sweat, and tears. He went to meetings in Australia. Billy Graham was there two months before him. Not a problem. All of a sudden, he came in with healing and miracles. All of a sudden, persecution came, and they had to change their laws in Australia to protect guys like him. They came in and beat him up and his whole crew. Just thugs coming in, like the Antifa we see now, and just coming up to restaurants and destroying things. He went through that, and we're skating, and he forged a new way for us. I'm telling you, don't ever speak against the person who's anointed of God.
Amen.
Don't ever do that. It's bad. I'll just tell you. But he said this, find out what the perfect will of God is. That's number one. Find out what God wants you to do. What is his perfect will? You can find his will in his word. His word is his will. Amen?
Amen.
Then he said, once you know what the will of God is, confer no longer with flesh and blood.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Well, I said before, it's amazing how many people feel obligated to come and tell you why things won't work. If God speaks to you to do something, it says that we have faith from hearing God, right? Faith comes by hearing God.
Right.
Well, if you say, oh, I got this thing. Now, you go to somebody else and say, God told me to do this. God hasn't spoken to them.
Right.
They don't have the faith to be able to even agree with you, let alone advise you on it.
Yes.
What,
yes.
And they'll talk you out of it.
Yes.
Or you call somebody up on the phone and they'll agree. And now you got agreement here on earth. But instead of the Father answering it, now the God of this world is answering it negatively. And it gives him, like, don't get into agreement with people who will advise you to do something against what God told you to do. Confer no longer with flesh and blood. That's number two. And the number three thing is, get your job done at all costs. Get it done. Do it. Do the word. Find out God's will. There are oppositions to God's will, but if you and God agree together, you and God are a majority. No matter how many armies come against you, no matter what government is in charge or whatever, that stuff doesn't matter. It matters to those who don't have the power of God in their life. There's a whole lot of difference. Staying up at night worrying, fretting, or rolling the care and believing God. And standing long enough to be able to receive. Don't be a double-minded man. You know, the word doubt is D-O-U-B-T. It comes from double. It comes from having, it means to have two minds. And when one mind, it means be of two minds or two different thought patterns that oppose each other. And one's pulling this way, the other's pulling, and nobody gets anywhere. That's why you don't receive from God if you're a double-minded man. Your instability is weakening your ability to receive from God. You got that today?
Yes.
Is that good? Okay.
Yes.
I think I'm 10 minutes
very
past
good.
Lunch.
It's all right.
We'll forget.
Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the life that is in us. We thank you that the hope that we're called to is the greatest thing that ever came down the pipe. We thank you that it is an open invitation to receive from you, from your heart is open to us. Your love is for us, building us up, fortifying us, not driving us. But we know you, we hear you, you lead us, and we follow. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. If you need prayer for anything else, come on up. We'll pray for you. God will answer that prayer. We say that confidently because we come to the throne of
yes.
grace and to obtain and to receive.